And turn to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. You may be seated. If you do not have a Bible, there's one in the pew rack right there in front of you. It is good to see you today. Thank you for being an encouragement to me personally by coming today and worshiping with us. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. Yes, we are starting into the Christmas holiday season, and I am excited about this time. I have always loved this time of the year. The book of Hebrews is not typically something that you think of when you think of Christmas, but I enjoy it. And I've been corrected already by one of our trustees by emphatically saying that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. Well, I believe he wrote the book of Hebrews. How's that? I make no retraction, just a firm statement that Pastor makes. Thanks that Paul wrote Hebrews. How's that? Okay, just want to set it straight, right? I'm saying, Brother Mike knows where I'm coming from, don't you, brother? We get it. Yeah, okay. So, Hebrews, chapter number 1. It's an easy book to find. It's hard to find some of the ones just before and just after, but Hebrews is the one you can talk about. I really like this book because I love coffee, you know what I'm saying? So, Hebrews is a good, good book. Don't worry, there's more bad stuff to come. All right, Hebrews chapter number 1. Have you found it? Say amen. All right, now I'm going to read the odd numbers out loud and you're going to read the evens. So here we go. God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Take your Bible. You're there in Hebrews 1. Go to Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2. And look at verse number 9. We're going to have some fun here. Verse number 9. If you found it, say amen. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, as we look at the real story of Christmas, it is our desire, Father, that as to direct our attentions, our hearts, our minds, and our thoughts directly to you, we open our spirit unto you. Holy Spirit of God, we open up and we ask you to speak to us today. Jesus said you would lead us and guide us into all truth. Holy Spirit, you know what is on the mind and the heart of the Father, for you bear witness that we are the children of God. So we ask you to bear witness to us today. Guide us, speak to us. If there's one among us that's lost or watching on the internet now live that is lost, may they trust Christ. And for us, your children, Father, revive, refresh, stir, stretch, strengthen as only you can, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May it look this way. I love Christmas time. I love the decorations the ladies have put up. The church is looking wonderful. I just do. I love this time of year. I love it. I love it when the city goes out and puts the decorations on the light poles. Remember? Hey, I love it. Isn't that wonderful? It's just something about it. And then when the snow comes, I always think of that song, Silver Bells. I have memories and about sitting in the car while Mom's shopping and watching the snow come down and listen. Because in Spring Valley, Illinois, where we would go because it was a bigger town, we went from a town of 300 to a town of 1,200. That was big doings right there. They had a grocery store and everything. And you went there and they actually had music playing through outdoor sound speakers back before everybody stopped all that because, you know, we don't want to offend people. But anyway, it was awesome. And we could sit there and listen to music. We'd sit in the truck. And I just love this time of the year because people put lights, even if you live in an apartment or they'll put it on their railing or their balconies. I love that. Or you and then you got to like Mount Vernon. You got those mansions out there. And they just, man, I love it when people decorate. It's wonderful. They put it on the trees and they put it on the bushes. And I love Christmas music. How many of you have been listening to the old classics Frank Sinatra, Doris Day, Perry Como. Come on, so there's some Perry Como denial going on right over here on this side, right over here. Come on now, this is a wonderful time of year. Bing Crosby, for Pete's sake. I love, okay, you know, okay, you're making me mad now. Listen, I love Christmas music. We get excited. We've been listening. I love technology because you can get it commercial free now. You know, I'm not going to tell you which app I use, but because I don't want to advertise. But the truth is you can get it on your phone, and the Bluetooth is fabulous. And we've been singing it. My kids love to sing Christmas music. I love Christmas smells. Miss Mix has been making, you know, all kinds of good stuff. She makes candy every year, so you got that. You got the chocolate, and then you've got like peppermint bark she'll put in it, and then I love the pumpkin smell, pumpkin pie spice. I know I'm getting hungry. I won't be long. And then you got the cinnamon apple candles and meltaways. Isn't that fabulous? It's not Christmas till you have the pine scent and the apple cinnamon and the pumpkin. And I love the music. I love the sights. I love the sounds. I love the smells. And then I love traditions. I love Christmas traditions. It is a tradition in our house. We start watching Christmas movies. Anybody got like Christmas movies you watch every year? We do, right? Miracle on 34th Street. Man, I love that show. Remember little Natalie Wood's eyes as Kris Kringle blew up that big bubble of bubble gum and got it all over his face? And she goes, your beard's not real because you're not really Santa. And he's like, go ahead, pull it, you know. And she grabs hold of his beard. And I love that show. That's wonderful. Wonderful. It's silly, but I believe it's silly. Remember that? And they drive. Oh, it just makes, I don't watch the end because the end makes me cry because it's so wonderful. It's a Wonderful Life. Jimmy Stewart and George Bailey. I love that show. I love that show. I believe, Clarence. I believe. And every time you hear a bell ring, an angel gets his wings. Do you remember that? Okay, Durbin, you're going to have to rent you some movies, buddy. Netflix you some movies because, man, Christmas is awesome. Maybe I'm a little too old for you guys. How many of you remember Home Alone 1, 2, and 3? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've washed my face. I've washed my entire body. And he goes, remember that? I love that. And how many of you remember the claymation Santa Claus is coming to town? Do you remember that? That's a good one, right? Frosty the Snowman. Huh? And then Mr. Heat Miser and Mr. the Abominable Snowman guy. Yosemite Mike with the pick and... No, he licks the end of it, no gold. Remember that? I love these shows, you know, because we get to see it. And PureFlix, now you can subscribe to PureFlix. They got Prancer and all. There's a Hallmark channel, you know. So, yeah, they're good shows. They're just boring. Anyway, my wife loves that channel. So, but you can watch. They have all these wonderful Christmas shows. And we were raised with the ideas, and they were fun. I mean, I loved Christmas. I loved the fact that the family would gather. And I was raised in a gas station. It was fabulous. It was the best place to raise your kids. Because mom, we had the front, it was like a coffee shop. And then whenever it rained, you could play at my house because dad had those 10-foot doors you could drive a semi through. And it was like a basketball court inside, all made out of concrete because, man, it was raining outside. I'm inside. It's heated. We're playing. We're goofing around, you know. And we'd set up these huge tables, and the kid, and we were little, so mom had take the encyclopedias and set them up on chairs, and we'd use those as booster seats. You know what I mean? And we'd eat, and it'd be fun, and we'd open presents. And I mean, Christmas, I like traditions. But, you know, the funny thing is Christmas isn't really a movie. Christmas is a historical event. And the reason it's special is not because it's history, but because it's his story. Have you ever seen that in the etymology of the word history? It's his story. That's what it is. And it's not a movie, it's a miracle that happened. All eyes at this time of year turn to a small town in central Israel. Today, it's 25,000 people. It's a big town compared to what I was raised in. But at the time of Christ, it wasn't near that big. In the time of David, it was even smaller. But all eyes turn to that one little town whose 95% of its economics is derived from tourism, for people who want to be there on the day that we celebrate the birth of Christ. I know that not everybody who decorates really celebrates the real story of Christmas. I know that. And I know that not everybody who sings songs and loves Frank Sinatra has got their heart tuned. But you know, as Christians, Christmas is our thing. You know what I'm saying? It's our thing. I mean, we worship the Lord Christ. And it was the day, that's the day we celebrate. People are like, oh, well, Pastor Hicks, he wasn't born on December 25th. Okay, fine. Pick a day. Well, let's have Christmas March 25th. What do you say? Or April 9th. Who'd like to have it on April 9th? Can we take a vote? I don't really care. Let's celebrate a day when Jesus comes. Let's call it Christmas. Why? Because it's like our thing, right? We're Christians. It's, you know, we own Christmas. You know, it's our day. Let's make it big. Let's celebrate it. But there's a real story about Christmas. I know we just read Hebrews 1:1-4, and it's not something that you normally read. You think of Isaiah, don't you, Brother Micah, where unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Or Micah 5:6, where it says, or Micah, where it says, Bethlehem Ephrata, out of you will come, you know, and that. And then there's the other one in Isaiah, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. We think of those verses. We think of Matthew when Gabriel comes and talks to Mary and says, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You know, we think of those verses. But the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 1-4, really chapters 1 and 2 as a whole, really embodies the essence of the Christmas story, the real Christmas story, the one that God had intended. See, when you look at this, it says God, because he's the originator of it. He was the original storyteller. This was his idea. Look at it. God, who at sundry times and divers manners, that means at different times and in different ways, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now, the prophets were the spokesman, or the, what do we call it? The press secretary. Isn't that what they call the person who speaks for the president? The prophets, these men, these special men that God picked throughout the Old Testament, were the press secretary for God. See, prophets represented God to mankind. Priests represented mankind to God. They were the advocate for God, or for the mankind to God. They were the ones that went to God. But prophets, no. The prophets didn't represent the people. The prophets represented God. They were his spokesmen. And it says that God, through different times and different manners, spoke to these people, these prophets. And the thing is, you think, well, yeah, you know. No, there has always been the Christmas story since the beginning of time. God has never been without a voice. God has never been where mankind did not have someone trumpeting out the real story of Christmas. Somewhere, we figure between 6,000 and 6,500 years of human existence, God has always had a voice that has been telling people the story. It started with Moses in Genesis chapter 3, if you're following along. Genesis is the first book of the Old Testament. It's easy to find. Genesis 3 in verse 15, we see the first reference, it says, and I will put enmity, chapter 3, verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The very first reference to the story of Christmas, the fact that Christ would come, the seed of a woman, a human being that Satan did not have claim to, would come, and it would free us. That's the very first reference. In Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15, it's the fifth book of the Bible. Moses wrote all the first five under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Look at Deuteronomy 18 and verse number 15. The Bible says, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren. He will be a Jew, and he will come out of you like unto me. He'll be a prophet, one who speaks for God. Unto him ye shall hearken. Moses talked about how the Christmas story was coming. Isaiah, the one that you always think of, Isaiah 9, verse number 6 and verse number 7. Listen to what Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Some of you probably have this on decorations in your house. It's a beautiful verse. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And I'm going to preach on these verses later on in the month. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Don't tell me Jesus wasn't talked about in the Old Testament. Don't tell me that the divinity of Christ, the deity of Christ, is not there, because it is. He's the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. These were the trumpet voices of God's real Christmas story throughout the Old Testament. In Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, the Bible says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel." These men were selected by God for the purpose of being His spokesman. You had Ezekiel, you had Jeremiah, you had Nehemiah, you had Ezra, you had Malachi, you had Obed, you had Obadiah, you had people that spoke for God. We just got done going through Haggai. It was a lot of fun going through Haggai because Ezra, Haggai, and Zechariah all hung out kind of together at the same time. These were God's spokesmen. Now look at Hebrews again. Go back to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2. We'll start in verse 1. God, who at sundry times in diverse manner, different times, different ways, spake unto times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath, now the same God hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Spoken unto us by His Son. God speaks to us directly by His Son, Jesus. By this special begotten Son. Remember in John 3:16 it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." His only begotten Son. This specially born, this uniquely born person called Jesus. This is the Christmas story. He's not just another prophet. He's not just another teacher. He is uniquely born. That's why in Isaiah 7 and verse 14, the Bible says, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall call his name Emmanuel." And in Matthew and Luke, it tells us that Emmanuel means God with us. God spoke to us in the past through these special prophets, these special men called prophets, His spokesman, His press secretary. But now, today, He's speaking through His Son. The Lord Jesus Christ is now the press secretary for God the Father. He is now the spokesman for God. You know, He is the unique, unique born Son of God. Think about it. Go to John chapter 1. Now, you're in Hebrews, so go toward the front because you want the Gospel of John, not the letters of John, in the back. So find, it's right after Luke and it's just before the book of Acts. So find the Gospel of John, chapter number 1, and we're going to start in verse number 1. Think about the uniqueness of Christ. This is the person, the spokesman for God. God is now speaking to us through Christ. John chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God," or excuse me, "the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, I don't know how to say this without sounding silly, but the word, you know what I'm talking about? The word, you know, word, in Greek, it's logos. It is a descriptive title of Christ. When it says the Word, it's talking about Christ. So when you look at it again, it says, "In the beginning was Christ, and Christ was with God, and Christ was God." Verse number 14, "And the Word," or logos, "Christ was made flesh." God, in the person of Christ, His Son, His uniquely born Son, His only begotten Son, the divine Son of God, was made flesh. And now God speaks through Him. "And the Word," or Christ, "was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory." Whose glory? The glory of the Son. The glory of Christ. The glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It is through Him, this special Son, this special person called Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, that God speaks to you and me. This is the real Christmas story, that at the right time, when in the right place, God sent His Son to speak to us. He's God's spokesman. It says in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2, "hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son." Now the word "last days" talks about the time span from the birth of Christ all the way up through now on into the future until we're in the kingdom age where He sits on the throne. We are in the last days. Now, what makes Him special? Well, He's not just the spokesman for God. He's not just the uniquely born, begotten Son of God. Look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse, the second phrase. "Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son." Now look at the next phrase. "Who He hath appointed heir of all things." What makes Jesus special is not just that He's the spokesman of God. He is the heir of God. God has dominion over everything, okay? Right? He's the boss, right? I asked this Afghani man that's friends with Brother Duncan. I talked to John Haji. Remember, I talked to Haji Noir. And I said, "Haji, tell me what it is you believe about God." He goes, "God's the boss. God's the boss. Just like that. God's the boss. God's own is everything. So Jesus is heir to God. And we understand how inheritance works, right? We get how that works. Brother John, wouldn't it be great if you found out you had like a long lost reclusive uncle that was a gajillionaire? Wouldn't that be fabulous? Wouldn't that be fabulous? And you're the one, you're his heir. That means everything he owned, everything he had dominion over, John now has. That wouldn't be such a bad deal, would it? We all dream about that, don't we? We all think about it. Well, wouldn't it be great? Oh, wouldn't it be great if somehow they did DNA samples and found out that somebody, you know, with money was not debt, but money was your ancestor, I guess you would say, and you're the heir. Oh, wouldn't that just be fabulous? What would you do with a large chump? What would you do? Huh? We dream about it. We think about it. God owns everything, and Jesus is the heir now. He is the heir of everything. He is the sovereign. He has ownership. He has control. It says, Jesus, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. He's the sovereign. See, now, this is what's cool. Because Jesus came and lived a sinless life, I was raised in a multi-child home. Anybody else raised in a multi-child home? You folks are you're the only child. You know what I'm talking about. But how many of you had a perfect older sister or an older brother who never did anything wrong? Yeah, amen, right? You know what I'm talking about. You can relate. You can relate, right? Imagine being Jesus's little brother. Huh? He never made a mess. He never left things out. He always put away his stuff. He did his own law. I mean, he did everything. He never sinned. Huh? Talk about living up to something unattainable, right? Huh? He came. He lived a sinless life. Then he died a substitutionary death. That means he took my place. That means he took your place. And when we judge ourselves a sinner, when we agree with God, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When we recognize and realize and judge ourselves and say, I'm a sinner, be merciful unto me. And we turn unto God, be merciful unto me, O God. Save my soul. I believe Jesus died for me on the cross. At that moment, you become a child of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Take your Bible, turn to Galatians chapter 4. Let's have a little fun. Galatians chapter number 4. See, at that moment when you trust Christ as your Savior, all of the righteousness of Christ, His sinless life, His substitutionary death is now credited to you, and you are a child of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Look at Galatians chapter 4. Now remember, inheriting means you own it. You have dominion over it. You have control over it. I mean, you're getting it. Look at Galatians 4. And verse number 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. Now, that's a whole sermon series on that right there. If you think back to the time when Jesus came and was born, by the way, Jesus wasn't born in the manger. She didn't get down in the trough and actually give birth there. She just used it as a bassinet. Y'all need to help me with that, all right? She didn't give birth in the trough. Okay, now, when Mary gave birth to Jesus, do you understand? The world at that time was set the way God wanted it. Because of the Roman Empire, the road systems, and the movement of freight and news and money, the ability to move stuff across the world was now in place because of the Roman roads, the legal system. The unified writing system, the ability for everybody to read and write Greek. The world was finally in a place where God wanted it so that He could send His Son and the real story of Christmas could get out and go wide, could go worldwide. That's what that means. That's all free. Look at verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman. He was 100% man and 100% God, made under the law. He was 100% Jew. To redeem them that were under the law, that we, he's talking to the New Testament church, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We now, as children of God, without fear, look up to God, He looks down upon us with favor, and we can call Him Daddy, Abba, Father. Verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Not only is Jesus God's spokesman, he is God's heir. And because he's God's heir, we are joint heirs with Christ, because his sinless life and his substitutionary death has been applied to our account when we trusted Christ as our Savior. Now, look at Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2 again. Look at this. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2 again. So, God is speaking through his Son, that special born, only begotten Son, whom he's now the heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Not only is God, Jesus, God's spokesman and God's heir, God, he is also the creator of the world. Jesus is the creator. So in John chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says all things were made by him, and there was not anything made or without him. Excuse me. I don't know why I don't get that right. And he says all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image." Those are plural pronouns, us and our. The Trinity is real. God is a triune being, and Jesus Christ was there with God the Father and the Holy Spirit at the creation. He is a triune God, just like you're a triune being. So he is God's spokesman, he is God's heir, he is also the creator of the world. This alone differentiates him from all other people in Scripture, but that doesn't stop there. The real story of Christmas is that God's Son, his spokesman, his heir, the creator, is special because look at verse number 3, who being the brightness of his glory. Jesus is the reflection of God's glory. The word brightness means splendor, luster, glitter. Jesus perfectly reflects the majesty of God the Father. He's the brightness of his glory. And then in verse number 3 again it says, who is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. See, if you take a mold and you pour wax into it, when you pull the wax out, the wax is now showing the express image of the mold. You ever do that with G.I. Joe? Anybody have G.I. Joe when they were a kid? I had G.I. Joe when I was a kid. They're not dolls, they're action figures. And you take Play-Doh and you roll their face in the Play-Doh. And now the Play-Doh reflects the express image of that action figure. It's not a doll. The action figure, right? It's the express image. Jesus Christ was the express image of the majesty and glory of God. In John chapter 14, listen to how he explains it to Philip. Philip's like, "Show us the Father, and that'll suffice us." And Jesus says unto him in John 14 and verse number 8, "Have I been so long time with you? And yet hast thou not known me, Philip?" Were you paying attention? Where you been, boy? Look at it. "He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and that the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth work." Remember, he's the spokesman of God. "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me." He is the brightness of his glory, the reflection of God's glory, and the express image or the direct manifestation, that essence of the being that is God. And you want to know more about God the Father, you need to get to know Jesus, because he's special. The Creole Christmas story was that in the past God had spoken to mankind, the Christmas story, through his prophets. But today he speaks through his Son, the uniquely virgin-born, only begotten Son of God, who is the heir of God, who is the creator God. He is the one who reflects God's glory, and he's the express image of his person. But look what it says in Hebrews 1:3 again. It says, "And upholding all things by the word of his power." He's not just the spokesman of God, he's the commander-in-chief of all the cosmos and creation. He upholds all things with the word of his power. Colossians 1:17 says, "And he is before all things." That means he was here before things were created. "And by him all things consist." He's not just the commander-in-chief. He's the sustainer of the cosmos. He's the lawgiver. Everything in the cosmos acts and operates according to certain scientific laws. This is how scientists can track the phases of the moon, the tides. This is how they can track eclipses. Why? Because everything operates according to a law. Well, you can't have law without a lawgiver any more than you have a clock without a clockmaker. The fact that there are laws and the fact that there is a clock tells you that there was a clockmaker or a lawgiver. Jesus Christ is commander-in-chief of creation. He's also special because he's the redeemer of the human race. Look what it says in Hebrews 3. When he had by himself purged our sins. The Bible says in Matthew 21, when Gabriel was speaking to Mary, he says, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I mean, check out his plan. Even before Jesus' birth, he was headed toward Calvary. He said in Luke 19:10, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. And here again, it's another brief presentation of the real story of Christmas. Because Jesus, the uniquely born Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, the divine Son of God, the spokesman of God, the heir of God, the creator God, the commander in chief of creation, the reflector of God's glory and image of his person, the redeemer of his, that makes him pretty special, doesn't it? So when I say we own Christmas, it's our thing, it's because of Christ. There's nothing in me that's of any value except Christ. It's about Jesus. I mean, that's the real story, that God is now speaking to us through his Son. Now, it says here in Hebrews 1:3, this last phrase of the verse says, had purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, have you thought about that for just a second? So he made this world. He upholds this world. He was born into this world. He died in this world. He was buried in this world. He rose again out of the grave and ascended out of this world. Is that where Santa Claus and the reindeer come from? I mean, is that how he got to heaven? Huh? No, I'm just kidding. I love Santa Claus. But the truth is, what's he doing at the right hand of the Father now? He's interceding for you and I. He is our advocate. He is the one standing in the place where we should be standing, taking the accusations of Satan and answering them with his blood and saying they're covered. See, the real story of Christmas is how that Jesus, after he's redeemed us, ascended to heaven. And he did this 2,000 years before the Wright brothers ever figured out aeronautics, right? 1,900 and some years. He did it. He ascended literally, bodily, visibly to heaven, and he sits on the right hand of God. Now in Hebrews chapter 7, listen to what the Bible says about this. In Hebrews 7 and verse number 24, but this man, because he continueth forever, we're talking about Christ, but this man, but Jesus, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Hold on a minute now. Remember, the prophet was God's spokesman to mankind. The priest was mankind's spokesman to God. So now Jesus, sitting at the right hand of the Father, that exalted place of preference and privilege and power, he's interceding for us. Look at this now. Hebrews chapter number 7 and verse number 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's interceding. He's pleading his case. He's ascended there, and he is there taking our accusations, the one that the devil accuses you of. He is standing there and answering those accusations, saying, my blood. My blood has covered that. My blood has covered that. My blood has covered that. Have you ever read in the Bible where it says that God is righteous to forgive? Because his blood has covered our sin, it was right and righteous for God to wipe the record clean. It was right for him to do that. He was righteous in doing that. And the Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 4, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. You know, angels serve a purpose. They do. Angels serve a purpose. Angels serve the King of heaven. They serve him. They are messengers. But look at Hebrews 1 and verse 9. It says, Hebrews 2 and verse 9. That's a typo. Hebrews 2 and verse 9. The Bible says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. That's when he came in human flesh. For the suffering of death, that's the purpose of his coming. Crowned with glory and honor, he is now exalted, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. That's him being our substitute. For it became him for whom are all things. That's the purpose of creation, there for him. And by whom are all things. He's the origin of creation. In bringing many sons unto glory. This is the fulfillment of God's purpose and plan for the ages. To make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. That means complete. So go to Hebrews 1 and verse 8. But unto the Son, that's Jesus, he saith, thy throne, O God. Hold on now. We're talking about Jesus. Speaking of Jesus, O God, is thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness and righteousness is a scepter of the kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, speaking of Jesus, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. That's talking about Jesus. And as a vesture thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. That's speaking of Jesus. So we see Jesus superior to the angels. We see the one who is the spokesman, the heir, the commander of the cosmos. This Jesus is the one God speaks through to us. You know, I think, well, you know, the real story of Christmas, it does deal with family. I mean, it is a time for family. But do you realize that it's a time for us as a human family, as an individual family, to focus our hearts onto the real story of Christmas, the reason for the season, which is Christ. And because I am Dervin's brother and Michael's brother and Miss Rochelle's brother and Haley's brother and Miss Carol's brother, we have family like no other because of Christ. We're family. We're not just friends. We're family. We have a bond that goes beyond our human blood. But the divine blood of Christ makes me family with Brother Pat. And Miss Uni, and Brother John, and Miss Jan, and Brother Ralph. Even Ralph, I'm your brother, Ralph. I love you. Even Ralph's my brother. Brother Obed. They're my brothers. The people in Kenya that we're building that building for, they're our brothers and sisters. It is family time. Christmas is the time when we focus on the one that came from God. This was God's plan and purpose since before the foundation of the world. See, because in God's eyes, you were saved. Before he ever spoke the world into existence. In the eyes of Jesus, you were saved the day he hung on the cross. But in your eyes, you were saved the day you trusted Jesus. I was saved in time. From God the Father's point of view, I was saved outside of time. He saw it with foreknowledge. On the cross, you were on his mind. But it was October 9th, 1990. When I got saved, when I saw it, when I received Jesus as my Savior. When did his story become more than a story for you? When? When did that story become real? See, now that I'm saved, now that I'm a Christian, now that I'm God's child, I'm the heir just like Christ, Christmas means more to me. It's not just a movie anymore. It's not just myth or fiction or fantasy. It's fact and reality. That God now speaks to me through his Son. This was his plan. This is what Christmas was about. This is the real story of Christmas. It's the story that excites us to live for him. It's a story that energizes us to serve him. It's a story that'll evangelize your family and your friends and your coworkers if you'll tell them the real story of Christmas. That is, yes, Jesus came as a baby, but it's not about him coming as a baby. It's about the Father's plan to redeem us, to enter into a relationship with us that we will never be separated from again. Because when we trust Christ, we have eternal life. The real story edifies us and makes us strong. This is the real reason for the season. And when you think about it like that, a lot of the other things that we do for Christmas seem kind of ridiculous in comparison to the joy and the love. No wonder that is a God who would love a worthless sinner like me. That's the real story, the real miracle of Christmas. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Has the story of Christmas become real to you yet? Has it become something more than a story? More than a movie? More than tradition? More than just a family gathering? When did his story meet your story? Our Father and our God, we love you. And it is a wonder that you could love a sinner like me. It is a wonder and a joy to know that you speak and that this was your plan. We've never been without it. You've never been without a witness. And today, as you speak through your Son, I know you want to speak through us. Father, I know that there are so many people right within the eyesight of this church who decorate, who look forward to the festivities, but know nothing of the real story. Let us be your witness. Let us be the one who speaks. Father, please bless now. If there's other concerns here today, whether health or relationship, finances, Father, speak and meet the need. Give people the courage to come and use the altar and pray and to seek you to get the answer they need that they might live the life you've given them to live. In Jesus' name, amen. As she plays and sings, the altar's open. It's a place to come and pray. It's a place to come and make commitments to God. It's a place to come and lay down an addiction or a struggle or a sin. It's a place to come and find hope. It's a place to come and be healed. It's a place to come and be encouraged. Come, pray with me. Some have come, how about you? Anybody else? Look, you want to be saved today? There's no reason not to be. Come. Let's talk. Let me show you from the Bible how to be saved. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're looking for direction today. Maybe today's the day you need God to give you the answer. Do I turn right? Do I turn left? Do I go here? Do I go there? Do I take this job? Do I? Come. Let's seek the Lord together. Where two or more gathered together, there am I in the midst, he said. Let's pray together. And we'll seek the Lord. We'll get the answer. We'll get an answer from the Lord today. Some have come. How about you?
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you.
Can you sing that out loud from your heart? Can you sing that?
Every hour I need.
Can you sing it from your heart today?
Oh, I want defense. My righteousness.
Oh, God, how I need.
my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way,
there's still time for you. Won't you come?
And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you.
Let me pray with you.
Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I
sing this song with Miss Mix.
Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you.
Can you sing that out? Sing it to you from your heart. He knows he's listening. He desires to hear you sing.
Oh God, how I need you.
Sing that chorus again, Mrs. Mix.
My one defense. My righteousness, oh God, how I need you.
Our Father and our God, we love you. I'm thankful, God, you've never left yourself without witness of the real story of Christmas. And Father, how that you've been perfecting your purpose and plan for all ages. And now today, you speak through your Son. You speak to us directly, and I'm so thankful that even today, through His message, we can share the real meaning of Christmas to our neighbors and the people around us. And Father, we ask that you'd burden us for those souls that don't know you. And God, as we spend time with family and friends this Christmas, give us the opportunity to share this story with them as well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May it look this way.